I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Colin has the day off. Happy President's Day to you. Celebrate whichever presidents make you happiest. How about that? Chris Mack here. Jimbo is alongside as well. Producer Matt has the day off, so we found a different producer named Matt. All of this going on, and Eric Hagman still hard at work down at Pirate City in Bradenton. This spring training report brought to you by Weather Seal Home Services. Good morning, Eric. How are you?
I couldn't be better, guys, and I sincerely mean that.
What is it, like 65 and sunny right now?
Chris, it's 72 degrees this morning. It's unbelievable. There's two stories down here in the Tampa, Bradenton, Sarasota area.
Okay.
One is spring training camps and the money they bring in for these areas. That was all over the news this morning. The other is record heat. We're going to hit 85 today. Probably 85 tomorrow. It's going to stay in the mid-80s all week long, even till when Jim gets down here Saturday.
Nice. You should see the smile on Jim's face right now, knowing that he's going to land in mid-80 degree temperature.
Yeah, my sister-in-law lives in Naples, and apparently she was talking to Linda yesterday, complaining about how hot it is down there. I was like, good.
That's exactly what we're looking for.
You guys know, I mean, there can be times down here when it's windy and it's chilly and rainy. You know, I experienced that the one day last week, but unbelievable weather. It's just, and I know people back there don't want to hear it. So let's talk baseball.
Let's talk about having the first four in the rotation penciled in mid-February, which some teams with more talent in their rotation won't have that figured out for another 3 or 4 weeks. So what about the way these guys pitched down the stretch last year when they had all four present at one point in time or another, gave Clint Hurdle and Ray Searidge the confidence to say, hey, let's do this now. Let's get it all penciled in, and let's move forward in the knowledge that J-Mo is our opening day starter and Archer is our home opening starter.
Yeah, I think that's where they started, Chris, because Hurdle went out of his way to say what an honor it is to pitch the home opener as well, and the fact that they only had three games on the road before they came home for their first game, I think, allowed him to do this. So he basically took the two pitchers that he regards as the aces of his staff, whether you want to say one is 1A, one is 1B, I don't know, but they are the two top-of-the-rotation guys, and he just felt that with the job that Jameson Taillon did, you know, over the last, let's say, two-thirds of the season, maybe even three-quarters, when he was just so consistent, you know, that merited him being the number one guy, so he'll pitch in Cincinnati. And then Archer, who, after a slow start, really pitched well in September for the Pirates. Now, four times he started a season opener in Tampa Bay, so he was unfazed by the fact, you know, oh, I'm going to pitch home over, but he's really excited about it. I put a story up on the website this morning about it. He said he's already looking forward to it, pitching in front of the fans.
You know, Eric, I used to joke back in the not-so-bright days of the, you know, of how many, you know, the Mahalom, Gorzolani kind of stuff, and where Mahalom was like the number one guy, and then he would get stuck pitching against everybody else's ace. And so he could pitch well, and yet, you know, guys wouldn't be able to score any runs, and so he had a crappy record, even though he actually wasn't as bad as his one-loss record would show. I kind of like the idea of Archer. If he's supposed to be like your, you know, one or two, you know, like you say, a 1A guy, I like the idea of him pitching out of the fourth slot where he might get more favorable matchups against certain other starting pitchers.
Yeah, I'm sure the way they play the analytics game and that they map everything out, Jim, that probably went into some sort of consideration as well. For all we know, they've got some sort of graph that shows who the projected starters for every team through the season are going to be. But I agree with you, and I think it's going to work that way, too, for Trevor Williams because, you know, Williams is kind of the forgotten man in this rotation. But, boy, he was pretty darn good, too. And Musgrove, who we know can bring it, and he's just looking for more consistency. So I think they set up pretty well. Again, this team's only going to go as far as their starting pitching carries them, and everybody admits that down here.
Well, that said, though, Eric, with one of the better rotations in the National League, and you can – That's legitimate. You can look at the Mets, the Cubs, maybe the Nationals, depending on how the back end of their rotation finishes out, and put the Pirates right there with some of those teams. What is the feeling about, and I know we've asked you about this already a couple of times, but just how they're going to produce runs. I saw an interesting comment from David Eckstein the other day about how offense can have something to do with speed on the base paths and moving guys around on the base paths. I mean, at a certain point, you need to find a bat or two in the middle of the order that's going to put the ball over the fence.
Yeah, I don't want to be that guy, Chris, but Rick Eckstein.
I'm sorry, thank you. What did I say, David?
But he's in camp, too. He's in camp working with the infielders, the former Cardinals shortstop. Yeah, Rick Eckstein, he's had a couple of media scrums so far. And, yeah, he's getting bombarded with all kinds of questions. And, you know, their philosophy is different. His and Jacob Cruz, his assistant, their philosophy is a lot different from the previous hitting coach regime, whether one is right, one is wrong. But he wants to create more power from this lineup. But he said it isn't going to be, we're going to sacrifice anything for the expensive power. I believe guys, he's saying, such as Josh Bell, can hit for both average and hit for power, can protect the plate. But they just, their philosophy is not that you go up there with a two-strike approach every time, but sometimes you don't need a home run. Sometimes you need maybe a single, that sort of thing. So it'll be interesting to see how it translates. You know, some people say hitting coaches are vastly overrated. By the time these guys get to the major leagues, they've had systems ingrained in their head. They've had personal hitting coaches. They've had team hitting coaches at the minors. And it's tough to maybe get these guys to switch around. The guys we talked to about this, though, Bell being one of them, Polanco being another, they seem receptive to this idea of how they want to approach it this year. And it's not just home run at all costs, but they're going to try to produce more power.
Yeah, Eric, you mentioned, I was going to ask you about Polanco, interestingly enough. I know you've talked about him embracing more of a leadership role and actually having a better command of English, which I admire the hell out of those guys that where English is not their first language. And yet, have you seen signs that he's going to be back sooner? That's another thing. And guys always talk about this. Oh, yeah, I'm ahead of schedule. I'm going to come back sooner. What has anybody else said about that? That is it possible that Polanco might be ready to come back in, say, May as opposed to July?
The only person who went on the record was that was Chris Archer at his first interview when he said, would we get Polanco back at the end of April? And somebody
wow.
from the other side of the clubhouse said, no, 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 no. And he said, oh, I guess I'm not allowed to say that. Now, that may just be a little bit, you know, optimistic, overly optimistic. I think the general sense I get, we haven't had a chance to talk to Todd Thompson yet about this. Huntington alluded to it. But I think the general sense is they expect to have him back by early to mid-May, which would probably put him a month ahead of what would have been the worst-case scenario. So I guess you could say, you know, he would be ahead of schedule. He's not hitting. They don't have him hitting yet. He probably isn't going to hit in any of the spring training games, or at least early on, that he's taking it easy with the throwing. You know, again, the shoulder is the major concern. Not the knee. It was the shoulder that had pretty expensive surgery.
What's on the docket today, Eric? More watching guys pitch, right?
No. Today is first full squad.
Oh, that's right. It's first full squad today.
That's right. Not a holiday for everybody, Chris.
No.
Right. We've got Clint's address to the team this morning, of which we're not allowed to enter, but we may pick up on a few tidbits, things such as that. But we'll get to see guys like Cabrera, Marte out on the field for the first time. Yesterday, it was kind of a relatively light day, but some of the things that were kind of interesting yesterday was these young minor league guys who have absolutely no chance of making this team. They're low minors, but they're pretty good players. Like O'Neill Cruz, who's a top prospect, they got to go in the cage, into the batting cage against Liriano and Vasquez and Tyone. And boy, was that an eye-opening experience for some of these young guys.
Eric Hagman at Pirate City and Bradenton first full squad workout today. Yeoman's work down there. We'll keep an eye on 93.7thefan.com for more updates and reports. Thank you, Eric.
All right, guys. Enjoy.
Yep, we'll talk
Bye,
to you
Eric.
Soon. That spring training report brought to you by Weather Seal Home Services. First full squad workouts, as Eric reminded us of, going on today down at Pirate City. And then games less than a week away. Saturday, Jimbo. They get games started.
I'm fired
just
up.
In honor of your arrival on Saturday, they will begin Grapefruit League games.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to make it to Clearwater for the opener.
Well,
on
no,
because
you got to land.
Yeah,
and
I got to do some other stuff.
You
got to get organized.
Yes.
Yeah, but Sunday it'll be. And here in Bradenton,
where it's 75.
Right now at PNC Park, it's 28 degrees. But here in Bradenton, 84.
Yeah, that's.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.